Paul, I'm glad you're here today. Thank you, Davey. Acts chapter 12, one verse, verse 25. Friday, I went out and challenged the teenagers. I had prepared this message to preach to you kids. I didn't get to preach it, John, so I just gave you a little outline. Today I want to preach the whole thing to you. And I want to bring a message to you. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. Everything I do, I plan on winning. I never plan on failing. But if I do fail, I plan to get up and try again. I'm so afraid many times people, they might fail in something, but then they won't launch out and try again. And I want to try to, I'm going to show you, I believe he might have been a teenager. He failed at his first missionary, and I that's how we put it. With the kids are going on a missionary trip. Some of this is their first missionary trip. Some, John Mark, I believe, was a very young man, maybe a teenager, maybe 18. Somewhere, the Bible don't say, but I know he was a young man when he first went out. And he didn't have a real successful trip. He went back maybe thinking he failed. But I'm glad he didn't quit. And I want to try to use his life to challenge every one of your lives never to quit. Amen? Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 25. Glad you're here. By the way, Becca Club meets in toddler room on Wednesday nights. Becca Club meets in toddler room on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. Alrighty. Notice verse 25 of Acts chapter 12. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. I want to talk to you today, preach to you about John Mark. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, over a week or so, Eddie asked me to preach to the kids, and you put this thought in my heart. And Lord, today I pray we can be a blessing not only to the teenagers, but even to all the adults. Help us, Father, as we serve you, not to get discouraged if we fail in our attempts sometimes. Help us to rise up like John Mark did to achieve even when we didn't achieve maybe on the first tries. Lord, help me to be a blessing today. Please, help me be a blessing to every person here. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today, I want us to look at a life of a young man, maybe even a teenager, called John Mark. And if you notice in verse 25, it says, John, whose surname was Mark. John was his Jewish name. Mark was his Roman name. And this morning I want to talk to you about a young man, like I said, possibly a teenager, John Mark. John Mark's mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. His name is mentioned 10 times, not the word John Mark, that's mentioned a few times, but he's referred to 10 times in the New Testament as John, or Mark, or John Mark, or Marcus. And you first hear about John Mark, look at Acts chapter 12, verse 12. You first hear about John Mark in that same chapter, Acts 12, 12. I got you in Acts 12, 25 to start with, but if you look at Acts 12, 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. This is talking about Peter. Remember, Peter was in jail, and the angels rescued him out of jail. Remember that? And people were praying for Peter. They were praying at John Mark's house. The mother of John Mark's house, people were praying that God would release Peter. Remember, Rhoda came and said, "We can't believe it." She slammed the door and went back and said, "Hey, Peter." They said, "He can't be there. We're praying for him." Duh. You know, God does answer your prayers. That's such a great picture of Christians praying and not believing. But we need to pray believing. Amen? Hello? Okay. You know, when you read about this, You'll notice that in verse 12 that Peter came to John Mark's mother's home. I wonder why he did that. Well, I think that Peter was well acquainted with John and John Mark and his mother, and I believe many times he went to that home. It's amazing, he got right out of jail, and that's the first place he went to. If you know, it's interesting to note also in 1 Peter 5:13, in Peter's salutation, he said, "Marcus, my son." We believe that John Mark might have been a convert of Peter. Maybe, and that John Mark, as being a convert of Peter and then become a preacher boy, maybe John Mark was like a spiritual son in the ministry to Peter, like Timothy was a spiritual son, preacher boy, to Paul. Come here with me. Timothy, Paul's preacher boy. John Mark, Peter's preacher boy. Are you still with me, church? And so, we are told in verse 25 that John Mark took his first missionary journey with Saul, which we know Saul, his name changes to Paul. If you take my Romans class, you'll know why and why it's changed. But and Barnabas, his name was changed because Saul was named Paul because God wanted to remind Paul that he was always sent to the Gentiles. And the first convert of Saul was Sergius Paulus in Acts 13. You've taken Romans, so most of you know this. But the first recorded Gentile convert of Saul was Sergius Paulus. And it was a memorial to Paul to remind him he was always sent to the Gentiles. So every time he heard his name Paul, he would think of that first convert, Sergius Paulus. Can anyone say amen? Well, getting back on John Mark, if you'll notice in Acts chapter 13, John Mark is ministering, doing the work of God. Look at verse 6 and verse 5. Look at Acts 13, 5. John is in the ministry, in the work of God. It says they had also John to their ministry. And when they were at Samelis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Let me see that. He was serving Eddie. Eddie, this young man named John Mark, he was serving. He was excited about the word of God. He was excited about the work of God. He was in there soul winning, ministering to people. Man, this guy was on his first missionary journey, and he was doing great things for God. Can anyone say amen? And then all of a sudden, something happened. Look at verse 13. Something happened. Something happened to John Mark. Because if you look at verse 13, Acts 13, notice Acts 13, verse 13. 13 is usually always a bad, 13 is a bad number. 13 is usually an indication of something evil or bad. Now, if you're born on the 13th, I'm not saying you're bad. I'm just saying in the scripture, 13, if you by the teachings of numbers, and when you start numerology, 13 is a bad number. Can anyone say amen? Or oh me. It's amazing how God's King James Bible even reflects that, even in the verses. Acts 13. For instance, I'll give you this. I didn't have this plan. In Genesis 13:13, it says that they were the people of Sodom were exceedingly wicked. They were Sodomites. 13:13 in Genesis. There's all kinds of illustrations. But notice what it says in verse 13 of Acts 13 about John Mark. Now when Paul and his company loose from, boy, I like all these peas. Remind me of Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, you know what I'm trying to say, amen? I'll read verse 13, it's easier. And Paul and his company loose from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. I don't know what happened to John Mark. And I don't know what happened. Maybe he wasn't married, so he didn't go back and forth because the baby is being born. But something happened to John Mark. I don't know if he got homesick. I don't know if there was a lot of perils. They were in a lot of dangers. Their lives were always at risk. I don't know if he was afraid or he had some fleeing moments. The Bible really isn't clear on why he left. The Bible just says that he departed and came back to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know something, because that's the crux of the message I'm trying to teach you here today is this. Maybe John Mark just wasn't ready to face all those challenges. Maybe he got tired. I don't know. All we know is he returned to Jerusalem. He left the work of God. He left and turned his back on Saul and Barnabas, or Paul and Barnabas, and the people that he was going to minister to. And no doubt, get this, no doubt he went home discouraged. He went home defeated. And no doubt he went home disappointed. You know, it's amazing when we turn our back on God, it's always downward, isn't it? In some people's eyes, I know in the Apostle Paul's eyes, in his eyes, he was going back as a failure. No doubt John Mark might have felt he was a failure going back. But I don't think he really wasn't a failure. Listen, you know what I think people are failures? People are failures when they failed to try again. He wasn't as successful as he would have been, might have been, but he wasn't a failure, because complete failure is when a person totally stops and gives up and stops trying to succeed. Everybody can fail, but the only time you get failure is when you fail to try. Are you with me? I've heard of many people say, "That's it, preacher. I failed. I'm not trying again." That's failure. That's a wrong attitude. If you fail to try, you'll never know success. Church, if we fail to try, we'll never know success. You say, "Well, I can't go soul winning. They turned me down." Try again. Listen, quitters never win. Winners never quit. That has been my philosophy all my life. Quitters never win. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. You're going to find out about your preacher. When I do stuff, I plan to win. I can't even think about losing. That is the last thing in my mind. As a matter of fact, I think it's ridiculous to lose. I can't stand to lose. Why lose when you can win? Amen? I'm glad I'm saved. Can you imagine losing, going to hell forever and ever, and not be able to change the score? Boy, I'm glad I know Jesus is my Savior. Amen? Notice, success, listen to this, success very seldom ever comes without setbacks and defeats. How many people have had some setbacks and they give up? "Oh, I might as well give up, preacher. We've been defeated." No. Don't get that. If you've had setbacks, try again. Most success comes after failures. Get this. In most cases, those who will not give up and those who will not quit after failure, many times that failure leads to success for those who will try again. Some of you might be having trouble with your marriages. Keep working at it. Don't give up on it. They're worth working at. Amen? Listen, we learn from our mistakes. We learn from our mistakes. I shared this with the kids. Who invented the light bulb? Thomas Edison. He sure did. And Thomas Edison, he did the phonograph and the telegraph and the stock ticker and motion pictures and all kinds of stuff. Are you with me? Even did something with cement. Really. Matter of fact, he had 1,093 patents. I am glad that Thomas Edison didn't give up. Do you know how many attempts Thomas Edison made before he got this light bulb to work. They recorded that he made over 3,000 unsuccessful attempts until it finally worked. I'm glad he didn't stop after 50. He made over 3,000. He was unsuccessful. Tommy, he failed over 3,000 times. They said for 1 year solid, 1 year and 1 month, he worked on this light bulb. See that carbon filament? And he finally got the work perfect to light up. And by the way, thank God for the nation Japan. I was sharing with Steffi. You know, when he started messing, you know where he got the stuff? He got the bamboo and the carbon from Japan to make it work. They had part of the light bulb. Amen. Yeah. Study it. Study your history. Amen. I think history's fun. What I want to say is this. Over 3,000 attempts. He failed over 3,000 times. But he finally got it. I want to leave this in your heart and everyone else in the heart of this church. Matthew 5:14 and through 16 says, "You're the light of the world. Let your light shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father." If Thomas Edison strived to bring and would not quit to bring artificial light to man, how much should the children of God strive to bring the real light of Christ to man? Brother Gary, if a mortal man can worry about artificial light, why don't we ought to get caught up about real light? Jesus said he's the light of the world. And he failed over 3,000 times trying to give out. Listen, I don't care if you go somewhere 3,000 times and fail. You ought to go 3,001 because your light's more important than that artificial light. How many get what I'm trying to show you? Now listen, we need to, don't be afraid to fail. Many people lose out on success because they're afraid to try. I want to challenge you young people. Don't be afraid to try things when God tells you to do it. Well, I could never teach a Sunday school class. By the way, Grandma Sue got to teach her class again. We're thankful for she can back in the reins, teaching her science school. Amen. Had that open heart surgery, and God bless Miriam and Bruce. I think they're going to be alternating, but I'm glad Grandma's back doing it once every other week, I think, or so, twice a month, something like that. But we're glad she's back. You know, many people never see the other side because they're afraid to launch out in the deep. Well, I'd do it, preacher, but I'm afraid we won't make it. I'm glad Columbus wasn't afraid to launch out into the deep. Amen? He would have never known the other known world if he wouldn't have launched out. Listen, the average Christian is afraid to attempt to do something for God. I want you to start thinking, what can I do for God? Well, preacher, I'll just fail. I don't care. What can you do for God? And that's what this message is all about. Well, I can't do nothing. Yeah, you can. Ask God what he wants you to do, and then attempt to do it. One of the great missionaries, William Carey, said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." Hey, Eddie, I'm glad you're attempting. You know, have those goals of 100 kids, Eddie. Have that goal. And attempt. Keep going until you hit it. I'll tell you one thing. You keep shooting for it, eventually you'll hit it. And I'll tell you anything, Eddie. If you don't shoot for 100, you're never going to have 75. You'll have more shooting for 100 than you would shooting for 50. Now listen, I want you to get this. We need some Christians today, I don't care if you're a teenager or adults, that will not be afraid to tempt things for God. Well, I'd give my gospel tract, but I'm afraid they'd get mad. Do it anyways. Or I'd pray for them, but I don't think my prayer would count. Do it anyways. Well, I'd work on the bus drop. Do it anyways. God's waiting for people to do things. We ought to have a heart. Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. I'm the last person in the whole world that you would think would be a pastor of a church. When God saved me off the streets and then called me to preach, I said, Lord, what are you doing? I'm Rich Skiver. I'm the Bugsy Moran of Galena Street. You know, I mean, you know, hey. I'm not, no, you know, I can't, man. I know how to do the back alleys and stuff. But, Lord, you want me to preach your Bible? I can't even pronounce words. God, that's right. You just trust me. I'll do it through you. And I said, okay, God. I ran for a while. And finally I said, okay, God, I guess you know what you're doing. I'll let it fly. I remember the first time I taught Sunday school, Brother Carey. Oh, this church is going to love this. They had me teach Sunday school up there for Faith, Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. My first time, just a young kid. I taught for 10 minutes. And so I said, okay, for the rest of the time, read your Bible. Don't you wish I'd just teach for 10 minutes now? You should have got me in the early days. My first message was only like 22 minutes. Don't you wish you could have caught me in the beginnings? Debbie says, there ain't no way. I'm going to tell you right now, see, it's not you failing. It's God working through you. Are you with me? Okay, real quickly, I want you to get a thought here with me. Stay with me. Now watch. We need Christians who will not quit. We need Christians who will get in the battle. We need Christians who will not give up. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. Don't be afraid to fail. Get in there and do something for God. If you get knocked down, get back up. I noted Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falls 7 times and rises up again. You know what? We need some Christians that will keep getting back up. Keep getting back up. Knock it down. Keep getting back up. Back up. Keep getting back up. I'll never forget the story. Dr. House talked to me. He's watching two kids fight, two boys. This one kid just kept knocking this one boy down, just kept knocking him down. But he kept getting up, kept getting up. And finally, he beat this kid. When it was all over, Jack Carter, I think he gave him $1 or $5. He says, here. He said, you give me that for winning? He said, no. I'm giving you this money for getting back up, for not quitting. How many Christians you know that they get something happens or something goes wrong? And they say, oh, that's it. I'm giving up on God. I'm giving up on church. I'm giving up on everything. You know, we need some Christians to stay in the race. We need some Christians can take a few knocks and hit a long life's journey. We need some strong Christians to hang in the battle. And by the way, I was talking to Bobby Clifford. We got some, I'm going to tell you, the future days, we're going to find out who real Christians really are. We got some coming days ahead of us. I'm going to tell you, we're going to see who really has the faith and who doesn't have the faith. If you got days ahead of you, I'm telling you, you just remember I told you that. There's going to be tests who really is a believer in Christ. We need some Christians, when they get knocked down, say, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going back at it. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. You know, I like hearing this guy sing. When he first sang, the second I liked it better. Then the more you dance it, hey, I like it that more. Keep singing with that guitar. We had the Italian dinner there, and Andy serenaded the people with his guitar and the little things they did, and the little show that they put on, and I thought it was kind of cute. Amen? I couldn't wait for him to do it again. I wish he'd do it again in church. I want you to see something here. Let me try to put this all together for you. Secondly, and maybe near the last, give a person a second chance. Don't give up on someone if they fail. Give a person a second chance. And by the way, give yourself a second chance. You know, I'm so glad that John wasn't cast aside. I want you to look at something. Look at Acts 15, 36 to 39. There's such a truth here. Roddy, you can get some of these truths and put together for a great evangelistic message. Look at Acts 15, 36. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go again, visit our brother in every city where we were." Are you in Acts 15 with me? Verse 36. "And we preach the word of the Lord, see how they do." Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Remember, John Mark left them. But Paul thought not good. "I'm not taking that little rascal. He ran away the first time." Blah, 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 blah. Are you with me? "Paul thought not good to take him, who departed." Notice, he said, he departed. Paul never forgot. We need to forget and forgive. Hello? "From Pamphylia. And went not with them to the work." Look at verse 39. "And the contention was so sharp between them." In other words, Eddie, they were literally arguing. Contention. They were mad at each other. Paul said, "We're not taking John Mark." Barnabas said, "Yes, we are." Paul said, "No, we're not." He said, "Yes, we are." "No, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Yes, no. If you take him, I'm not going." "Fine, you go with someone else and I'll take him." That's what happened. Look at, and the contention was so sharp between them, verse 39, Acts 15. "They departed asunder," asunder, man. That's a strong word. Like you're ripping someone apart. One from, like, kind of like the guy over in Iraq the other day. You know, it's amazing. I stand amazed at the imbecilic things that America does. I'm thrilled that they bombed that guy. They killed him. They dropped 2 500-pound bombs and killed him. Now they're sending 2 experts over there and to examine his body, see how he died. They dropped 2 500-pound bombs. They rushed in and got him before he took his last breath. What killed him? He probably choked on a flea. Can you imagine that? I'm not making this up. I heard it. They're sending 2 experts over to see why he died. You're paying with your tax dollars. He died because they blew him up. Oh, boy. I'm going to tell you, when people turn away from God, the Bible says their foolish heart is darkened. America's turned away from God, and that's why America's heart's getting darker and darker. And the Bible says they become, take my Romans class, you'll get all this teaching. They become vain. Empty. Well, we need to get America back to the Lord. Amen. They bombed that guy, John. Got him. Hallelujah. I'm praising God. And now they're sending 2 experts over to see why he died. I bet they're going to tell you he died from explosives. I'll tell you one thing, he got a bang out of it, I'll tell you that. It really, he had a blast that day. It really lit his life up. It was a shattering, earth shattering. I tell you. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not making this up, Rod. Read the news. They're sending 2 experts over. I think they take stupid pills there in the White House. And the contention was so sharp between them. Brother Kerry, but you're a preacher. I'm just a dumb fundamental Baptist preacher. I don't know nothing, Brother Kerry. But they're sending two experts over to see why a man that got 2 500-pound bombs blown on him, why he died. But don't listen to me. I don't know nothing. I just believe the Bible. Hello? And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. How many see that? And God still worked it for good. Because now instead of having one party, he got two of them going two different places. Amen? See, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, let me just say this in closing. I'm glad that Barnabas didn't give up on John. And I noted this. Roddy, here's something to take on your evangelistic trips when you go in churches. How many John Marks do we find in churches today? They might have tried to do something and they failed. And instead of encouraging them and try to get them back in the work, they put them on a shelf and said, "No, you're no good." They push them aside. And then Brother Kerry, this John Mark who came home disappointed, discouraged, and maybe in somewhat of a failure, but he didn't quit, kids. He kept serving the Lord, and he kept working with Barnabas. And at the end, even the Apostle Paul, who refused to take him, don't turn this, I'm just going to quote to you, in 2 Timothy 4:11, so much did John Mark become great for God that the Apostle Paul, who didn't want to put any more time into him, who wanted to put him on a shelf, don't discard anybody. You might got some John Marks in here. We don't even know it. They might flop the first or second time, but keep encouraging them because there might be a John Mark in here. So much in 2 Timothy 4:11 that the Apostle Paul, who did not want to put more time in him, said, "Take Mark, for he's profitable to me for the ministry." In other words, John Mark became great for God. So much that the Apostle Paul ate his words. Thank God for the Barnabas that would put time into people. We need to learn these real quick things. I'm just going to read them to you. 5 things I want you to remember from this message. Don't be afraid to attempt things for God, 1. Don't be afraid. In the future, we're going to attempt to do some great things for God here. Don't be afraid. 2, give people who fail at their first attempts another second chance to succeed. I'm glad we got the God of a second chance. Amen. Listen, I'm glad Barnabas didn't give up on John Mark. Eddie, how many people do we have in this church that could become great for God? That right now I think, oh man, they're just a lunker. In this last year, I've seen people come up. I'm not going to say their names, but I've seen people I thought, well, I don't know if they'll ever amount to nothing for God. But I've seen them come up and I say, wow, I'm glad we didn't discard these people. Me and Brother David's talk about this. Man, there's some people that people just said, I'll just get rid of them. Oh, when he first came, he was a long-haired hippie, yippy-dip kid. Oh, he'll never amount to nothing. You ought to see him out there serving God. I'm not saying he's going to be a preacher, but I'll tell you one thing. He's serving God, working with Eddie and those teens and doing great things for God. Thank God for some John Marks like that. I can name a lot of other people, too. Phil Howard, you're one of them. People wrote you off, but I said, no way. I'm going to name no more people. There's a lot of great people here that are coming up for God, doing great things for God. People gave up on saying, hey, Joshie Dollar, you might be a John Mark. I'm not giving up on you, Josh, because I want to tell you, you might be the next John Mark. You never know. Hello? How many people in our churches that we just disregard and say, and carry the, God could use them in a great way, yet they never get the opportunities. Don't give up on anybody. You just never know. Levi might even become a preacher someday. You never know. But it don't matter if he does or not. As long as he serves God, that's all that matters. His brother don't want to share the preaching with him anyways. Now that Eddie's preaching, Eddie's a preaching machine. How many people could we encourage in the churches again to get back? Oh, I tell you, I thought about this John Mark. I'm glad Barnabas didn't give up on John Mark, and I'm glad John Mark didn't give up. I'm glad John Mark went back and started doing the work of God and got back for God and got back in and God taught him and then he became effective for God. Just because you fail the first time don't mean you're always going to fail all the time. Hello? Number two, give people who fail at their first attempts another chance to succeed. Number three, forgive others their failures. And also, number four, forgive yourself for failures. You know, sometimes the hardest person to beat is yourself. People will forgive you, but you won't forgive yourself. I'm going to tell you, there are people today that they say, I can't forgive myself. That's why I won't serve God. Listen, God's already forgiven you. People are forgiving you. Go forward and do something great for God. You say, well, I did this. I don't care what you did. Man, that's underneath the blood. Go forward for God. If you went to Christ and asked forgiveness, He's forgiven you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let Satan whisper in your ear, oh, you're not good enough to serve God. You can't work for God. You can't do it. No, you can do something for God. I'm so tired of the devil ruining Christians' lives and Christians listening to him. Kind of like that one guy I said earlier about telling that lady her little baby went to hell. He was the devil. He was the devil was speaking through that guy. Number five. Will in your heart, you will not give up until you succeed for God. I tell you, I just would to God that I could put my spirit in every one of you guys. I have such a strong spirit not to give up. I think it's war on some of you. I really do. I think it's got into some of you. I just won't accept failure. I'm going to, Carrie, if your preacher falls, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to say, okay, what did I do wrong? I'm going to correct it. I'm going to go back and win this time. Amen? See, I've always believed we can win. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. We're more than conquerors through Him. I'll close with this little, I'll get even closer getting this little illustration. I've shared this before, but it's a great illustration. From a child, I taught my kids never to give up, never to quit. Steve, when I was in Toledo, I had such a passion when I played ball. I just had to win. I just had to win. I was talking to Bud. Bud, when we played, I just had. I don't care if I had to hit home run or take a guy out, or I don't care with football. I just had to win. And the fire in me just would push me on to make sure we won. We need some fire in Christians. Brother David mentioned about fire at the Sunday school meeting. We need some fire in Christians today. Christians, you ought to have some fire and say, man, we're going to win. We're going to win. Don't give up so easy. I've shared this illustration, but I'll share it one more time with you. When Dave and Tammy were just little kids, they were playing hide and seek in the house. It's a great illustration of not to quit. And Tammy hid behind the piano. And David couldn't find her. The boy sang today, special. And I heard him say, Tam, come out. I quit. I give up. I said, No, he doesn't. Stay where you're at. I said, come here, Dave. He said, Dad, I can't find her. I've been looking. I've looked at the bedrooms. I went to the kitchen. I went in the basement. I can't find her. I said, I don't care. Don't give up. You're going to find her. I said, you go back and you look harder. You go back and check everything again and you find her. You're not giving up. About 10 minutes went. All of a sudden, Tammy, come out. I give up. I quit. I can't find you. I quit. Man, I jumped off the couch. Tammy, wherever you are, don't move. Don't move. I did. I'm not kidding you. This is what I really did. I said, he doesn't quit. He doesn't quit. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. And I went down to my son like you, Josh, and I said, you're not quitting. He's falling. You're not going to stop till you find him. Don't you tell her again you're going to quit. I'm telling you right now, you're not quitting. I don't care if it's all night long. You go back and you find your sister. You're going to have fun on your trip to tell David about this, aren't you? Is he in the building? Any? He might be working in Super Church. Okay, David. And just a few minutes later, I don't know if Tammy came out so he could see her. I don't know what. Did you show him where you were? Good. You did. I was going to spank you. Kidding. Within a few minutes after we did that, here's what I heard. Dad! Dad! I found her! I found her! I found her! See, my son David found a great joy of winning by not quitting. And that's what I've tried to instill in their hearts. It's not a sin to fail, but it's a sin not to try. It's a sin not to, to fail to try is wrong. And see, I taught them how to win. I want to raise a whole bunch of teenagers that want to win. I want to raise a bunch of junkyard dogs for God. I said, I don't care. You knock me down, I'm going to get back up. You take my teeth out, I'm going to gum you. We need some Christianity to stick this, stay in the fight, and not give up, and not quit. Arlene told me, she didn't know I was preparing this message. One of them, she retired. We celebrated her 21 years. Last Wednesday, we gave her a little honorarium and celebrated her 21 years of her service at the restaurant that she worked up there in Hudson. She said one of the men that told her, one of the customers said, I kept coming back because I watched your life. Even though your daughter died and everybody had a heart, you never gave up. He said, your life encouraged me to keep going for God. You see, not only do you affect other people's lives, not only do you affect your life, but you affect other people's lives. Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen? I'm glad Jesus didn't quit. I'm glad Jesus didn't give up. I told the kids how they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, how he shed his blood, and how they put him in the grave, and how every bone out of joint, and then the third day he arose. Glad he didn't quit. Walked on this earth 40 days and then ascended back to heaven. Didn't quit. He's coming back because he's not going to quit. How about you? Oh, I failed. Don't be afraid to fail. The thing is, just don't quit. Anybody can fail. But the key of failure the key of failure is not to quit after failing. Over 3,000 attempts. If an earthly man can do that, what can a child of God do? I thank God for light bulbs. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like the light of God, Jesus Christ. And Brother Kerry, if an earthly man can strive that much, not to quit, how much so the children of God? We ought to say, I'm not gonna quit. I'm not gonna give up. I won't. You do what you want to me, devil. I don't care. I'm not gonna quit. I'm not gonna give up. I won't. We need some Christians that say, I won't give up. I won't quit. And do something great for God. Well, you tried before and you failed. Yeah, I know, so did John Mark, but he came back. Just tell the devil, well, that's all right, John Mark failed too. But he came back, and I'm going to be a John Mark. I'm going to come back and do something great for God. So much even Paul was happy. Amen? See, God's got something great for you to do. You just need to attempt to do it. Stan might not know it, but God's got something great for him to do. Terry, God's got something great for you to do. Oh, preacher, I could have. Pam, he's got something for you to do. Yeah. Every one of you. Dale, God's got something great for you to do. Every one of you, Diane. I'm telling you. Attempt great things for God. Don't be afraid to do it. Just keep in the not quitting. We got a man, I won't say his name. We got a man that went with me the other day, and he said cerebral palsy for, I think, since 1980. He was out going down the blocks, passing out flyers with me. He was out working right shoulder to shoulder with me yesterday on the land. He could barely walk. His back was hurting, his legs were hurting, but he kept, because he said, I won't quit. I won't quit. He said, preacher, I'm not going to give up. And I said, that's the kind of attitude you ought to have. Never give up. Never give up. Well, I failed. So did John Mark. But he came back for another day. Maybe you failed, but you can come back for another day. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time we've had. And dear God, I pray with all my heart that we would learn a great truth about John Mark. One, that even Christians can fail. And two, that Christians, even after they fail, should not give up. But they can even go on and do greater things. They can learn from their failures. And they can go on and do greater things for you in the future. Help us in our failures to not give up. Help us in our failures not to quit. And dear God, help us to ever try to do more things for you, for your honor and for your glory. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, the greatest thing for being successful, though, is you must first receive Christ as your Savior. If you've never asked Christ to come in your heart and be your Savior, you'll never be successful because you're already condemned. But you could trust Christ as your Savior today, and you could be on the road of a success for your this life and for eternal life. How many could say, Pastor, I know for sure that I'm saved. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and I'm saved. Thank you. May put him down. Would there be any today that say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure. I want to quote to you 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The first success in life is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Then you can see all kinds of success afterwards. I don't care what you accomplish in life. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not successful. You can have all acclamations in the world, but if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you're a failure. You take Christ as your Savior. You've succeeded the most important thing in life. You've grabbed hold of eternal life through the Son of God. Maybe you're a Christian here today and you'd say, "Preacher, you know, I failed. And I'll be honest with you, preacher. I kind of gave up. I gave up." And today, God spoke to my heart. "Preacher, I want to be a John Mark. I want to come back for God. Pray for me." Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Oh my, God bless you. "I'm going to be a John Mark. Yeah, I've messed up. I made mistakes. I failed. I know I did. I turned my back on God, turned my back on the work, turned my back on my family, my friends. But I want to come back. I want to be like John Mark. I want to get back in the battle. I want to get back in the race. I want to get back in the fight. I'm not going to give up after failure. I'm going to come back and be a victor and win for God like John Mark did. Pray for me." Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. You saw the hands, several on both sides of the building. Many folks said they were like John Mark. They need to get back and, Lord, do something great for you. They've stumbled or they might have fell away. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help them. Help them, Father. Help them to become a John Mark. Help them to rise to victory. Help them to know success like John Mark did at the end of his life. Lord, even in the early part of his life, he failed as a young man, but Lord, shortly after, he learned how to serve you. And I just pray with all my heart for all those that have maybe had some failures here and kind of fell out of the race. Help them. Help them to get back in. Help them to get back in and do something great for God. Raise up some John Marks here. People that some people wrote off. Said they'd never become anything for God. I believe there's a lot of John Marks out there. I'm probably a John Mark. Probably people wrote me off. Thank God for the John Marks in the world today. Help us to rise to the occasion, I pray, in Christ's name. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come.